Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our sermon continues with what we've been looking at in the Gospel of Mark, and we're at Mark 9, and this really has been a tough section of Scripture to be addressing and handling. Now, in verse 40, Jesus said to them, "Whoever is not against me, us, is for us." And that was the incident that occurred with Moses, with Joshua, Eldad and Medad, that they were ones that had not been there, and yet God was using them, allowed the Spirit to touch them outside of the rest of the group. Verse 42, don't do anything to harm the faith of another person, especially a child. And it has her, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. Now, little one is referring to a baby Christian. I believe, you know, as we're looking at and giving honor and focus upon the ministry of the preschool, little ones include. They are precious. And the intent is not to allow any stumbling block, anything to occur to lead them astray. But again, the little one, we oftentimes think of children, but we're talking about children in the faith. The less that a person knows, there's a vulnerability to be swayed away from the truth. And these are Jesus' words. Let a millstone be placed around the person's neck and cast into the sea. Believe it or not, that in the early history that occurred, that there were those that were cast in the sea, and I don't swim very well, but I would not swim very well with the millstone. In fact, it's basically intended for you to sink, and that's what the intent was. No chance. So it's very serious what Jesus is saying and how one treats and cares for baby Christians, children. Verse 43 to 47, and we'll be talking about this, but it says, it would be better for us to mutilate ourselves than to risk losing heaven and eternal life. We'll be talking about that a little bit more. And then finally, verse 50, Jesus tells us that we are to have salt in ourselves. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:13. And finally, verse 50, at the very end, it says, peace, be at peace with each other. Many years ago, and it is many years ago, there was a true story of a sheep herder in Montana. He got sick. He was taken to the hospital, and his faithful sheepdog, Shep, kept watch outside the hospital door. Well, unfortunately, it didn't take long. The sheep herder died. And his body was taken to the train station and was shipped back to his family out east. The story was told that as the coffin was being loaded onto the train, that Shep appeared looking for his master. And as the train left, Shep vainly ran after the train for a time. Well, later that day, he returned to the station exhausted. He continued to show up at the train station for 5.5 years. He kept looking for his master to come home. To those in the surrounding area, Shep was familiar to them, and there were people that took care of him, meaning offered food, but he refused to go to anyone's home. He kept focusing on looking and waiting for the master. And Shep's loyalty did not end until there was a cold winter day, and this goes back, 1941, when he died. Shep, having a loyalty to his master. And I think about what Jesus is teaching us as disciples, that he wants for us to have an unwavering devotion to God. We just sang, looking to Jesus, looking to Jesus. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus. And what happens if we turn our eyes away, how easy it is that we lose out on the ultimate purpose, the point of living. We're living for Jesus. But if we turn, if we look away, when we take our eyes off Jesus, the Bible becomes a mere just a book. And there may be, looking at the Proverbs, there are some sayings, and well, that's nice. But losing the ultimate point of following Jesus. There are other things that become much more of a focus. There can be good things that get us off the focus of keeping our eyes on Jesus. Our career, our health, our family. Now, they're not bad things, but we're to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. But there are bad things. There can be alcohol and drugs that get us off of our focus on Jesus. So the point is that our focus should be only to our Savior, Jesus. God gave to Moses in Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Unlike Shep's undivided focus, his devotion to his master, our devotion can easily be spread over many things. And because of the lack of focus, Jesus gives us some very painful warnings. And these were the parts that for me to be able to share and for it to have meaning has been something that I have struggled with. But he's saying, if our hand or our foot or our eye causes us to sin, we're to get rid of it. Now, please understand, don't take it literally. There are some that have done that and thought, oh, wow, great. That's not the problem. The hands and the feet and the eyes are connected to what our heart contains. So, Jesus was not calling for a physical mutilation, but he was talking about a spiritual mortification. There are things that have to die to set us free. There are things that we are in bondage to that prevent us from having that full or freer focus in Jesus. So he's talking about cutting off harmful practices that occur in our lives. And if we look at, okay, what's the hand? The hand symbolizes what we do. The foot is where we go. And our eye is of what we see. Jesus is keeping the focus on us. It's better to clean up those things that are causing stumbling blocks. And so he talks about sacrifices, discipline, self-denial. They're all worth it. The metaphors that they are, the gory details, will not do what needs to be done. There needs to be a severing and a gouging, but it must be of sin if there's to be a victory. It must be decisive. It's got to be complete. It's to be serious and final. You know, there's those times in which we have struggled and we put it off and we put it off, and then there comes that point of putting your foot down. No more, no further. And God gives the grace to work through it and to provide the freedom from it. And nobody else can do it for us. He says, your hand, your foot, your eye, no one else can do it for us. Christ is asking, are there places where your feet are carrying you that you have no business being? Are there events which you attend which involve temptations that you can't handle? Regarding the hand, are there hidden activities or habits which occupy things that if someone else knew about it, we'd be embarrassed? Joe Bailey, a preacher from years ago, in a sermon called Is Holiness Possible, he said, what are you reading? Do you have books or magazines which we want no one else to see? What are we renting? And again, now where it said local video stores, you don't have to go anywhere. You can get it right on your phone. You can get it right through the Wi-Fi. How many hours do we spend watching TV? How many chapters of the Bible did we read last week? Where do our minds go when we have no duties to perform? If our answers leave us guilty, Jesus says we must go to the extremes to rid ourselves of the offending member, and that only we ourselves can do it. Finally, and very importantly, Jesus, in the metaphors, is recommending we must be willing to endure the pain to conquer the sinful habits. It hurts to sever a foot or to tear out an eye. It hurts when we give up that which is placing us in bondage. When God is speaking to detach, to let go of, he's saying, do it now. It is up to us to say no to sin with God's help. Say yes to God. As I was going through this, I couldn't help but thinking of the song that I learned as a kid. I was a kid at one time. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then it goes, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And then, oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father above is looking down in love. And then, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father above is looking down in love. Okay. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. For the Father up above is looking down in love. And then, oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful. It is our sinful self that causes us to pull away from keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. Jesus is saying, he says, I don't want just part of you. I want all of you. All. He wants us to hand over to him that old self. And he gives us back a new one. The severing of the new self from the old is caused by the Word of God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 4:12 said, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. We could never do that. Joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Malachi 3:2, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire. Or a launderer's soap. I'd rather have a launderer's soap, by the way. He wants us to keep focused, to care about where we are headed, where we are moving. Keep eternal things, eternal life in place. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then as Paul bringing together a lot of the theology in Romans 12, in Romans 12:1, he says, Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your life, the life of sanctification. It's the process of God making us more holy. Now, you may have noticed that the hymns have focused on holiness. And our last hymn is going to be holy, holy, holy. And question was asked, well, are we talking about Trinity Sunday? No, we're talking about holy. All of this leads to the main point at the end of the text, peace. What kind of peace? Jesus said, whoever is not against us is for us. He says, at the end, be at peace with one another. Have you noticed that there are times in which the most trying times are caused by the conflicts among Christians? We are to put our whole hearts focused, devotion upon Jesus, and it's Jesus who will bring the peace. We will have a peace because he helps us as we struggle one by one and as a congregation to cut those things that are stumbling blocks in our lives. And so Jesus, speaking to us today, is saying, I want all your being. I want all of your time focused on Jesus. So that at the end of the text, at the end of striving to live a godly life, at the end of life itself, we learn and come to the point, face to face with Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is our Savior and our living Lord. Amen.